of you and how your love will never fade. My words cannot express what I feel inside. I can't describe your glory divine, but as a token of my love, this is what I'll do. I lift my hands and cry, Lord, you're holy.
Lord, you're so holy.
Lord, you're holy.
And we lift you up,
lift you up and magnify your name. Lord, you're holy.
I love you,
Lord,
Jesus.
You're holy. And we lift you up and magnify your name.
There's not enough words that I can say to tell you how much I appreciate all of the wonderful things you've given to me. Your loving kindness and tender mercy is my desire to praise you and tell you how much I love you. You're worthy of all. So
If you love him and he's been good to you, let's give him some praise tonight. Hallelujah. Now let's give him high praise. Hallelujah. We worship you, O God. We magnify you, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We want to give God thanks for those who received the Holy Ghost and were baptized this morning in the service. God is so very, very good. We're going to read this evening in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14, and a little bit of a lengthy reading. You'll survive. Let's see, I have a Valentine sucker in my pocket here. I'm a precious little person. It's nice to be thought of. My wife will eat that. Matthew chapter 14, verse 1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead. And therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him, John, as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger or on a platter. And the king was very sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given to her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus." Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. If you love his word, let's give him praise and thanks for his word tonight that is forever settled in the heavens. We magnify you, O God. We give you all the praise. We lift you up, O God. We worship you and thank you for your word, for your kindness, for your goodness, for your presence, O God, for every mercy, for all the grace, for every open door and every closed door, for all that you poured out into our lives. We praise you. We magnify you. We worship you tonight. Praise God. John is an exceptional character in the Word of God. He is, according to the Word of Jesus, the greatest of all of the Old Testament prophets. And John was not alive during the New Testament period. The New Covenant or the New Testament cannot begin until the death of the testator, which is Christ Jesus. And so you find all of the earmarks of the law, Moses and the prophets, during the course of the time discussed in the four gospels. The lepers go and show themselves to the high priest and so forth. And so the signature of the law is covering that. But John is the greatest among the Old Testament prophets. His birth is announced by an angel. His mom, Elizabeth, has been barren, but now God brings forth from barrenness and brings forth the voice of one crying in a wilderness, the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 40. Prepare ye the way for our God. He was hidden away for the most of his formative years until he came forth preaching at Jordan about baptism and repentance. And the fact is that Jesus said, if you will receive it, he was Elijah. The spirit of Elijah was upon him. He dressed like Elijah. He preached like Elijah. He had attitude like Elijah. And he didn't make many friends among the Sanhedrin or the rulers. And especially when he voiced his opinion about Herod's marrying his brother's wife and said it was unlawful, then Herod wanted to kill this man who was the embodiment of the Word of God. The preacher began to preach something that he didn't like. He had something in his life that he did not want to change. He wanted something that the preached word said you can't have. And he sat in a place of temporal authority and thought that he had rule over the Word of God. But you hear me tonight when I tell you that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, and there is no higher authority. And if you ever desire to be right in life or right with God, you've got to have an obedient relationship with the Word of God. And Herod hated John and loved him all the same. He was intrigued by him. He wanted to see him do tricks. He liked to have him around because John was a celebrity. And even though in a rage and in a moment of passion he wanted to kill him, when he came down to the moment of having to fulfill the wish of the young lady, he was very sorry because he wanted to see something that John could do that was miraculous. And it was a part of his kingdom and a part of his rule and a part of his world. And he liked having an active prophet there. And when Jesus began to take on the mantle and Jesus began to preach, then Herod said, well, surely this is John the Baptist, and he is raised from the dead. And he thought he might have had some bit of a reprieve from what he had done. But Herod was a preacher killer. Herod killed the preacher in his life. Herod killed the Word of God that came to him, because the Word of God will always come to you by a man, by a preacher, by the authority of the pulpit. For it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. There'll always be a preacher in your life. If you've got an attitude about that, get over it. There'll always be a preacher in your life. If you're going to be saved, there's going to be a preacher in your life. And the preacher is only the preacher and only has legitimacy and only has power because he has that Word of God in his hand. And he is only the vessel of God and the instrument of God so far as he carries the unadulterated, unedited Word of God to you. He is only of value to you as long as he brings that comes down from above. He can't be politically correct. He can't be culturally conscious. He can't be worried about the trends or the pressures of the day. He's got to bring you what thus saith the Word of God. This is the criteria for every biblical preacher. But Herod is among a great host that are preacher killers. He first put the Word of God in prison, and then he killed the Word of God. First, because there was something that he wanted, and something that he wanted was contrary to the preached Word of God. And so he put the Word of God in a jail cell. He secluded it in a place where he couldn't hear it, where it had no voice in his life. But he didn't understand that the Word of God has gone to all the ends of eternity. And wherever you go in all of your life, in this temporal world or in the world to come, you will countenance the Word of God. You may not bow your knee at the Word today, but hear this: every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, I love the word of God. Praise God. Somebody say, preach to me, preacher. Shake your neighbor and say, I love good preaching. My God, is there anybody in the house that wants to hear the word of God? Is there anybody? The Bible talks about a day when there was a famine, but not for want of bread, but for the word of God. God, help us. Lord God, don't ever retract your word from us. John put the word into prison. He relegated it to a place in his life where he felt like he had control over the word of God. And that was for a woman. And then for the dancing of a young woman and for the lust that it inspired in him, he said, girl, I'll give you anything that you ask for. He made himself open to any level of compromise or negotiation. He laid every stitch of his integrity out on the table for one worldly bauble. Young lady, there's not a boy in the world that's worth your association with the word of God. Young man, there's not a young lady in the world that's worth your association with the word of God. When you come to the table of worldly negotiations, there are some things that you hold back that you never, my heart will never completely belong to anybody, because my heart ultimately belongs to him. My life will never completely forget all the rot and the romantic songs. I know it's gonna be Valentine's Day, but don't you ever give anybody all of your heart and all of your soul, because you never know where life will take you. But God is a stone on which you can build your life. God, I feel the authority of the word of God in the house tonight. And he relegates the word to a dungeon. And because he comes with an open, compromising heart and life, he gets sucker punched. And she, out of all the things she could have had, wealth, position, power, she said, I want the preacher's head. Because mama is offended at the preacher. I got to tell you. The last thing I wanted to see emerging out of my teens, the last thing I ever wanted to countenance, and I had sworn I would never put myself in that position again in all of my life, I did not want to be under the control of an authoritarian man. Had a bad father-son experience, buried him at 15, walked away and said, that ain't happening again. My pastor, when I prayed through at 20, was old school. He didn't know nothing about hippies wanting to know answers to everything. He just said, because that's what I say. And we were like why, man? He was so stiff and so formal, I think he showers in a suit. And my dress clothes for church was a t-shirt with a pocket on it. That was my good clothes. And oh, I saw what was shaping up. I saw all the promises of God, and they were all on the other side of this man. I said, I saw all the fulfillment of the word of God in my life and all the potential and all the possibilities, But I had to go through this man called authority, called the word of. I know it's 2010, and I know I'm talking to an independent generation, but I'm going to tell you this. Don't you ever relegate the word of God to a dungeon in your life. Don't you ever lay that on the table of compromise, because the devil's going to come one day and he's going to say, I want the head of that preacher. And he may not come so boldly as that. He may just start with the small foxes, just nibbling. I preached to you this morning, when somebody countenances you and begins to malign the church, the people, the word, or the preacher, you pull out the word, the sword of the word of God, and cut them off out of your life. I don't care who it is. Get some distance. Don't allow that in your life, because it will nibble away at your authority. If you want chapter and verse for what I just told you, after the discussion in chapter 15 of circumcision, how that it was not going to be enforced in the New Testament church, and how that it was not going to be mandatory and essential in the New Testament church, Paul, when he's going into a Jewish district wherein he knows, they know that Timothy has a Grecian father, that he takes Timothy to the side and says, son, for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of our witness, we're going to circumcise you. And you're worried about standards? And you're concerned about rules and laws and statutes and platform standards and lifestyle standards for the church of the living God? I just gave you the text for any discussion about that at all. If the man of God can take a young man and say, because we're going to witness, we're going to circumcise you, son. And the young man says, yep, that's what we're going to do. I'm telling you, everything else is small change. But Timothy had the right attitude. He had the right idea. And he was going to be the bishop over the churches of the living God when Paul made his last trip to Rome. This is obviously not 10 ways for you to succeed financially in 2010. We may get to that at some point. Praise God. Touch your neighbor and tell him, never lock away the word of God. And touch him again and say, don't you dare kill the preacher. Hallelujah. If you love his word, let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. Hallelujah. Don't lock away the word of God for a football or a basketball or the love of the world or the love of a young lady. Don't lock away the word of God for a tight red dress. Don't lock away the word of God for a new hairdo. Don't lock away the word of God for the world's definition of beauty and good or value. Don't lock away the word of God for Hollywood's influence. Don't lock away the word of God for the peer pressure that you're going to feel at school and on the job. It's the word of God. Everything else has to take a back seat to the word of God. Praise God. I want to be your friend, but I'm not going to walk with you if we don't agree. I've already got the mandate. I don't walk in the way of sinners. I don't stand with those that are scorners. I'm not going to sit in the seat of those that don't believe nor trust nor hold dear to the word of God. But my delight is going to be in the word of the living God, and in it will I meditate day and night. And my roots are going to be down in that watery sustenance. And I'm going to be like a great tree that has fruit in its season. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Do you love the word of God? I love Bible quizzing. I'm glad we got Bible quizzers in the house tonight. I love Sunday school. I salute every Sunday school teacher in the house tonight. Plant that word of God down in the heart of these babies. There's nothing like the word of the living God. Praise God. Praise God. Whatever moves against you in your experience in the word of God, you stand fast. You hold on. You make yourself strong against whatever speaks against the word of God. Praise God. We live in a culture where the word of God has almost completely eroded from the pulpits in this city. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the truth of it. They are ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They just don't love that old book anymore. They've got it locked away down in a jail cell somewhere. And I read in the word of God where in Acts chapter 5, where the apostles are preaching in the streets of Jerusalem. The Sanhedrin has them locked up. But in the middle of the night, the angel of God says, I want you to go back out in the marketplace and out in the temple and tell them all the words of this life. And when the Sanhedrin and the soldiers look for them the next day, they're not there anymore because God has sprung them out of man's jail cell. It happens again in Acts chapter 12 with Peter when he's locked up after the martyrdom of James. And Herod locks him up and is going to kill him. But in the middle of the night, an angel kicks him in the side and wakes him up and breaks him out of prison and leads him out beyond the great iron gate of the city. And I'm just telling you, there's some times and there's some situations where it is impossible to lock up the word of God, because God himself will come down and say, no, I'm going to open this thing up. There is no power on earth or in heaven that is going to be able to close the mouth of this preacher if I send him to you. Then in Acts 16, where Paul and Silas are chained up in the pit, down in the depths of the dungeon, and God sends an earthquake, and the place opens up, and the word of God makes its way out, and they have a modicum of revival right there in that prison place. Well, praise God. Well, praise God. But there are other places where the word of God is locked up. And it has to be a man that will unlock it. Somebody say praise the Lord. In 2 Chronicles is a man by the name of Micaiah who is the prophet of God. And Ahab has locked him up in a prison because Ahab has lots of prophets. But he says that man Micaiah, he always says bad things about me. And so he locks him up down in the prison. But he wants the good King Jehoshaphat to go to battle with him. Jehoshaphat says, not until we hear from the man of God. He said, you go down to that jail and you get him out of there. I'm telling you, I want to do business with you. But we're only going to do business if we do business under the counsel of the word of God. I've got a word for New Life tonight. I want to pastor this church. I want to pastor your family. I want to be a part of everything God is doing here. I want us to be a church that touches this city for revival. But I have no interest of being involved with you outside the parameters of the word of God. You are not going to lock up the word of God and have a successful relationship with a pulpit. And as for me and this pulpit, we're going to serve the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say preach to me. My God, give your neighbor a high five and tell him I love the word of God. Jeremiah is locked up in a dungeon. And his adversaries hate him so well that they drop him into a pit. The Bible says there was no water in the pit, but there was slime. And Jeremiah sunk into the mire. And he's up to his armpits. But there's an elder in Israel that hears about it. And he goes and makes a petition. And he brings these old rags. And he lowers them down and says, Jeremiah, put those under your armpits, son. We're going to pull you up out of the word of God. I read in the days of the child king where the word of God was lost in the temple itself. And in the time of a renovation of the temple, they found the word of God. I'm just telling you, there are some times when God springs the thing in a sovereign way and by the miracle power of God. But there are places all along the timeline of the word of God where the word of God is in a dungeon or it's in a pit or it's lost in the chaos of a ruined and unused temple. But there's a man or a boy or somebody with passion for God that goes down into the dungeon and says, I'm not going to live another day without the word of God. Whatever I have to do, I'm going to have this word in my life. I'm not interested in how little of it I can have. I'm not interested in how close to the world I can be. I want to know, is there a church in Birmingham that wants to live in the epicenter of the word of the living God? My God, would somebody give God some praise for his word tonight? Would somebody shout a little bit for the word of God? Somebody get a dance partner and say, come dance with me. Let's rejoice over the word of God. What brought you into knowledge of God? What brought you into the knowledge of redemption? What brought you into the knowledge of baptism and the cleansing of sin? What brought you into a place where you could receive the Holy Ghost? What brought you into God's culture and to God's people? Come on, say the word of God. It's a lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. It's how a young man cleanses his ways. Ah, David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. John said about the young men, he said they are strong because the word of God abides in them and they have overcome the wicked one. Somebody say it's the word of God. Touch your neighbor and say it's the word of God. My God, if you've got a hunger for anything tonight, it needs to be a hunger for the word of God. I said, if you've got a hunger for anything tonight, it ought to be. If you're looking for an answer, it's in the word of God. If you're looking for a refuge, it's in the word of God. If you're seeking for comfort tonight, it's in the word of the living God. Well, praise God. Well, praise God. Help me. Praise God. I want you to just lift up your heart right now. Tell God how you feel about his word. Tell God what you want him to do with his word. Tell God what you'd like to achieve in the word. Ah, hallelujah. Open it, God. Preach it, God. Teach me, God. Lead me, God. Let my house, my life be built upon it, God. Hallelujah. 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 Let's give him praise and thanks for it. Hallelujah. 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 We've come to the day in America. Can you do something punchy? That's better. Excuse us while we do business. The only thing that's politically incorrect in our country is to believe in something and to love God and to talk about it. You can be anything you want to be but a conservative Christian. But you can't talk about anything else, but you can talk about how lousy conservative Christians are. You know what a conservative Christian is? Just somebody that believes the book. Somebody that believes the word of God. Well, praise God. Well, praise God. Anybody that's glad to be a fundamentalist tonight, say amen. Do you know what a fundamentalist is? Well, I'm going to tell you. It's a very simple thing. We just believe that it says what it means and means what it says. And so when Peter stands and says, repent, we believe you got to turn around. You can't continue to live the way you've been living. Not and serve God. So then the preacher's not doing you any good to tell you that you can marry your brother's wife and still be right with God. You may want to cut his head off, but you better open up your arms and say, preach to me, preacher. Praise God. We've come to a place where pulpits are telling people that the word of God was only culturally relevant to the time in which it was written, and that it really doesn't have a lot of bearing today, and that you can just kind of make this up as you go, as long as you believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins. Well, but Peter said, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. My God, you know what a fundamentalist does? He repents. You know what a fundamentalist does? He gets baptized in Jesus' name. Where did sprinkling come from? It came from distancing yourself from the Word of God. Where did the Trinity come from? It came from the bowels of the Roman Catholic Church. It didn't exist in the day of Peter and James and John and Andrew and the founders of the first century church. Where did it come from? It came out of the polytheism of the Roman culture. It segued with Christianity. They brought forth a new thing. But nobody, when they baptized people in Samaria, they baptized them in Jesus' name. When they baptized people at Cornelius' house, they baptized them in Jesus' name. When they baptized the Ephesians, they baptized them in Jesus' name. And if you didn't get that, Paul said, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. I just believe what it says. Somebody say praise the Lord. Do you believe the word of God tonight? Do you want the word of God tonight? My God. The word of God declares, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That you may have a debate about what holiness is, you better go to the word of God to get the answer for that. Because staying 10 steps behind the world won't do. Because gradualism will steal every precious thing from your life. But you go back to the old, tried word of God. Well, praise God. Well, praise God. Aren't you glad that you know the word? Aren't you glad that you're living by the word of God? Well, praise God. Do you know everybody in the Bible that got the Holy Ghost spoke in tongues? Everybody. And in Acts 2, when they got the Holy Ghost, they all talked in tongues. All 120 of them. All at the same time. And then when they prayed for them at Cornelius' house, they got the Holy Ghost and they talked in tongues. And then when they got the Holy Ghost at Ephesus, they all talked in tongues. Now, I'm not real bright. But if I read that, and I've got more than the mouth of two or three witnesses, it seems very clear to me that when you get the Holy Ghost, you talk in tongues. Well, praise God. If you're in the house tonight and you've never spoken in tongues, then by the word of God, I have no evidence that you have the Holy Ghost. But we can fix that in about two shakes right here in this altar tonight. Because the same God that gave us the word is the same God that poured out the Holy Ghost in this altar this morning. Well, praise God. My God, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Because it's in the word of God. Why do we praise Him on stringed instruments and organs and high-sounding cymbals and loud stuff? Why do we do that? Because it's in the word of God. Why do we dance before Him with all of our might? Because it's in the word of God. You want a life culture, a church culture, family culture that is rooted in the word of God. You want to be able to lay your hand on it and find chapter and verse for everything that you do in your approach to God. Come before His presence with thanksgiving. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Into His courts with praise. Praise God. Praise God. God shows up when you begin to magnify Him and praise Him. Aren't you glad for the word of God? Now, there is unbelievable pressure today for you to take the word of God that you know, or your desire for it, and to shunt it away into a prison. There's unbelievable demonic pressure for you to cut the head off of the word of God in your life today. Loved ones are going to pressure you. School friends are going to pressure you. The very culture itself is going to press against this lifestyle and this godly experience. And if you're going to live for God, it's going to be like swimming upstream. You're going to be pressing into it every day, because the flow of this culture and this world is in an entirely opposite direction. Praise God. But I want to know in this house tonight, is there somebody that's willing to go down into the dungeon? Willing to go down into a place where this culture has tried to lock the word of God away and say, we're going to get you out, honey. It's time for you to break loose in 2010 in the city of Birmingham. It ain't going to do for you to be locked away in some dungeon somewhere. We've got to have the word of God break forth. Well, praise God. How many of you go to public school? Now, they've kicked God out of the school. I don't know if you know or not. Happened back in the 60s before you were ever born. All right? And they don't want you to... You can... Boy, I saw this week where the U.S. military has set up a place of worship for the Wiccans. For the witches. That's where we're living right now. But my God, we need some apostolics that will walk in a public school and say, Jeremiah, they got you in a pit around here. But we're about to bring you out, honey. We're about to turn you loose in a public school. John, they got you locked up. But there's some young men that are about to go down in the dungeon. And they're going to bring John out into a public school in 2010. My God. The word of God is a word for all seasons. It's a word for all cultures. It's a word for all people. You don't have to culturalize it. You don't have to change it and soften it and make it more palatable for a hungry heart. All you've got to do is give them the word of God. Well, praise God. Praise God. How many of you work on a job with people that are not fundamentalists? How many of you work on the job with pagans and heathens and Egyptians? Praise God. Now, you know what they'd like you to do? They'll talk to you about anything in the world. They'll talk to you about everything, every obscene thing under the heavens. They're going to talk to you about anything in this culture. But they'll tell you quick, oh, let's don't talk about religion. It causes problems on the job. But I'll tell you this. God needs somebody, a man, a woman, that'll walk into the office tomorrow or walk on the job tomorrow and say, I know there's a prophet in this place somewhere. I'm about to pull him up out of a dungeon where they've got him tucked away. I'm about to break loose the word of God in this place of business. Ah, hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Come on. It's time, church, for the word of God to make its way into every nook and cranny in this city. It's time for the word of God to be applied to every broken heart and wounded life and miserable soul in this city. Is there a balm in Gilead? You better believe that there is, but they're not going to find it anywhere else but in the sovereign, holy word of the living God. Oh, let's clap our hands unto him a little bit and bless his name tonight. I'm going to stop. My God, if you're in the house and you've been hiding the word of God away for fear of your friends or your family, let's have a jailbreak tonight. If you've been living like a little timid mouse on your job, afraid for what somebody will think about you, I want you to come down to this altar and learn how to roar a little bit tonight. I want you to go into warrior mode with the word of God. It's time. God knows they need it. God knows they need it. God knows they need it. I want everybody that's not ashamed of the word of God to boldly make your way down to this altar tonight. If you come first, come up on these steps. I want you to begin to tell God what you're about to do in your school, on your job, in your home. Make room. You ought to be standing with your family if you can. Lift up every hand, lift up every heart. Begin to tell God what you're about to do. I'm about to turn your word loose in this city. I'm about to turn your word loose on my job. I'm about to turn your word loose in my home. That's teaching a home Bible study right now to lift up your hand. Everybody that's teaching a home Bible study, lift it up high. I want everybody that's in a home Bible study right now, whether you're teaching it or you're a student, to lift up your hand. All right. I want everybody that's not teaching a study right now to lift up your hand. Ah, what a mighty host. Almighty God. Can you imagine what's about to happen, I'll leave your hand up if you're not teaching one right now. I want you to lift up your voice to God and say, but I'm about to. I'm about to give me a study, God, and I'll teach it. God, open a door for me and I'm going to teach. Can you imagine what's about to happen? Somebody by the hand, have yourself a dance down there in that altar. Hey, hey, dance about a Bible study. Dance about a witness. Dance about an open door. Dance about men and women receiving the Holy Ghost.